He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, April 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only advisory firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have some lift underneath the market today. I'm not quite sure what turned it around and opened up to the negative side, and now it's all turned positive. We're in the green with the Dow up 105 points right now. That puts it at 39,275 after a pretty decent sell-off yesterday, but I can explain that one here in a bit. The NASDAQ is now up 30, seeing a little bit of surge in the AI-related stocks. The NASDAQ's down 16,273. The S&P is up 15 points to 5220. Small caps down a little bit as we've got interest rates on the move higher again today. Crude oil definitely on the move higher once again, $85.71. Crude oil is up 56 cents today. Gold, another new all-time high there. It's up $13.30 to $22.95. Silver really roaring up 85 cents to $26.77. And the 10-year up another 6 basis points to 4.42%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and our 25th year here on the radio. And managing money, daycare center, a babysitter for retirement funds, investment funds, IRAs, Roths, whatever the case may be. We're here being vigilant every
for the good kids and the bad kids.
Yes, and then we've got Barry having a little equipment issues today, so we may have to hear him on the cell phone here today. Well, we had a big spill in the market yesterday, but I can explain that. When I looked into it, it was pretty much just a very small segment of the market, even though, most stocks sold off a little bit yesterday. But the damage was done in the healthcare stocks. The health provider, the insurance providers absolutely got slaughtered yesterday. And, of course, you've got United Healthcare, which is in the Dow. That's the second hit that stock has taken here recently. First, you had the big data breach of United Healthcare, which caused some major problems. And now you've got the managed care players dragging down the market yesterday. After the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services set a lower-than-expected reimbursement rate for privately run health care plans for 2025. And, I guess if you look between the lines, read between the lines a little bit, is the current administration trying to push us towards a single-payer type of health care like they have in Canada? That's the first time in a long time that they didn't raise the reimbursement rate, Barry. And that could be kind of an important thing to watch. These stocks, prior to this, Humana got clocked about, 6-8 weeks ago because of rising medical costs. Them not taking in enough money to cover those costs. Then United got hammered with the data breach. And then all of these stocks sold off yesterday, including CVS. Okay, CVS owns Aetna. They offer health care plans. You also had EVH, I think it is, which is the old Blue Cross stock, or I can't think of the name of it right now, but they changed their name. It got clobbered yesterday. Molina got clobbered. Centene got clobbered. All of the privately run healthcare plans really took it on the chin yesterday. And that was the big drop. See, by the time it was over yesterday, the Dow was down 396 points. The NASDAQ was also down 156. So what do you think, Barry? I mean, look, there's not that many private healthcare insurers left. There's maybe 10 or so. Oscar Health also took it on the chin. What do you think about these rising healthcare costs? Medical cost and the you know, Medicaid not raising the reimbursement rate for the first time in many years.
Well, and number one, eventually those costs, right, seem like at some point they would get passed on to the consumer in terms of higher premium. The squeeze for these health insurers is the fact that, you know, to raise, say, their rates, right, they're highly regulated all at the state level, so. Each one of those, say companies in 30 states actually have to make 30 different proposals, right, to increase their premiums in certain areas. Fact of the matter is it takes a while, right, for them to adjust their cost to the cost of the market. And it's putting in, to me, it's really unique because you're looking at a part of the economy that's particularly in the market that tends to be somewhere you would go to for safety, right? I mean, you know, healthcare, tend to have been a pretty defensive industry. And in this case, right, particularly with some of the regulatory risks, it's making it not very palatable to invest in.
No, exactly right. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Bernie Sanders, a big part of his platform, and he was leading Hillary Clinton at the time, and the polls was that single-payer premium like they have in Canada and in Europe, which I'm not a fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't a fan of that. That's basically socialized medicine. But it would seem
And from a business standpoint, right, insurance is, what you get in, it's the old moral hazard, right, is if you offer insurance, right, the folks who, just by human nature, the ones who are going to want it the most, right, are the folks who need it, use it the most. And so when you have kind of a single payer premium, not only is it usually bad for the insurer, but it's also bad for the participant because, you're essentially lumping in, right? Everyone essentially has the same health. And so everyone, right, kind of tends to, the healthier folks, right, tend to pay for the unhealthier folks. And that's just kind of the nature of what happens over time as you kind of only have one premium in a particular, say, age class.
Yeah. And, the other factor is, you get into rationing of the services, especially the ones that people need. A lot of people in Canada and Europe, they wait for a long, long time for a needed procedure. So anyways, I can't, you can't take from that one item, but it definitely was a shot across the bow by the government, the Biden administration, not raising that reimbursement to the healthcare providers. Meanwhile, cocoa, $10,324 per ton. How do we invest in cocoa? The only way I've figured it out, it's a big, pretty big part of an ETF called DBA, which is an agricultural ETF. Let's just take a look at DBA. Cocoa continues to make a parabolic move higher. Yeah, man, I mean, the world will give up a lot of things, but chocolate? I mean, who's going to give up their chocolate? DBA, yeah, we just had Easter, right? DBA is up 20.3% year to date. It was up 23% last year, but cocoa is just out of control right now in a parabolic move higher. Okay, so we had that Medicare rate decision yesterday, which pretty much shocked the street, and that caused a huge sell-off in those stocks. The Biden administration's decision to hold payment rates unchanged has surprised analysts, with J.P. Morgan noting that only once over the past 10 years have regulators failed to improve final rates from preliminary rates. So that's pretty big. That's a pretty big decision yesterday, and it cost quite a bit of a lot of money lost yesterday in the healthcare providers. Well, we got Powell speaking today. Put that on your calendar. I don't know. Maybe he's already spoken by now. I'm guessing that the content of his speech is already public, and they liked what they saw, and that's why you're seeing a little bit of a rally in the market here this morning. Okay, when we come back, we have the private sector employment and a massive earthquake in Taiwan, 7.4 on the Richter scale. Is that having an impact on the chip stocks? We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm seeing a lot of green on my screen so far. I looked at quite a few charts so far. The only one that looks a little shaky to me, we don't own it, but we have some clients that own it, and long-term holding, big gains, Costco. Costco looks a little shaky. We got a story on Costco coming up. They're getting in on the weight loss craze. They're going to have a plan that you can buy with your Costco membership. That kind of goes against, they sell you all this stuff, Barry, that puts weight on for the most part, all these fancy cheeses muffins and roasted chickens and all the other kind of bakery goods and everything, and then they want to sell you a weight loss plan, so... Anyways, we'll talk about that here in a minute. U.S. private sector employment jumps more than expected in March. That's the ADP jobs report, 184,000. We just have not seen. I mean, we continue to say, well, eventually the jobs market's going to cool off a little bit. We just have not seen it yet, and it continues to be a strong jobs market. 184,000 jobs created in March. So,
and the market was the important thing is the market was expecting 150K, and so came in a good bit hotter than expected. There's certainly we've highlighted it a bunch, but ADP and then the non-farm payrolls that we'll get on Friday. There's certainly been some big differences or gaps kind of between those two, particularly since COVID, but it kind of leans towards at least probably a fairly hot or decent non-farm payrolls number on Friday.
That's right. When I see this payroll report private come in on Wednesday, that means it's non-farm payroll week on Friday. I meant to mention, Sarasota, I heard yesterday from Edie that we're just about full. She said, Bill, can you do an extra day? I said, sure, why not? I'm in no hurry to come home from Sarasota, right? And so we are opening up Thursday also, if needed, if you'd like to meet with us while we're there in person. But I know that... Edie told me yesterday there's only a few spots left. So anyways, you could call Edie at 855-611-BEST and work out a time that works for you, 855-611-BEST. Or you can go on our website at GundersonCapital.com and send us a message. Well, a big earthquake in Taiwan today, and Taiwan Semiconductor is pausing their chip making after the earthquake hits the island nation, 7.4. Well, coming from California, I don't remember a 7.4. That would pretty much wipe out San Diego and L.A., I think. This luckily was not in a high population area, but still, a 7.4, a lot of damage, and there are deaths. Taiwan Semiconductors, the main contract chip maker for Apple and NVIDIA. It's moved its employees out of certain areas and noted that it was evaluating the impact of the earthquake. It occurred near Hualien City at 7:58 a.m. local time. Wow, people would be on their way to work. The most powerful tremor that Taiwan has seen in 25 years. The quake prompted initial tsunami warnings in Taiwan, southern Japan, and Philippines, which were later lifted. Micron is also evaluating its operations and supply chain, but it said that its staff was safe. So far it doesn't seem like there's any major business disruption, but that is not a good thing that happened to Taiwan this morning. And then we had yesterday.
Well, it's a wake up call. Where we've talked about most chips being made in that
right.
part of the world in Taiwan, and so we've been the world really manufacturing capacity has begun attempting to move out of that geographic concentration, but it's not it's a slow process. So.
And, you know, it's not a high-margin business making the chips. Look at Intel today. Intel is down 6.3%. Why? Because, you know, they're trying to get into this foundry business to diversify away from Japan and Taiwan and make the chips here in America. But they had a very tough call here today, and the stock is down 6.4%, and they're blaming the foundry business as the reason, for the earnings warning that they're given. President Biden had a call with China's Xi Jinping yesterday. Well, it's been a while. They talked about TikTok and its ownership. Biden raised U.S. concerns about the app's ownership, which we're still kind of battling back and forth in the Congress whether or not to ban it or not. And I think the Biden administration would like to see China ByteDance divest themselves of TikTok. And there seem to be plenty of buyers out there, but I don't think China is pleased at all with what we're asking them to do. And I don't know, that's about all that I've heard from the call between China and us. And I don't think, I think it's still a very, very, very chilly, chilly relationship. Jeremy Siegel, okay? Jeremy Siegel is pretty much a perma bull. I'd rather listen to a perma bull than a perma bear because, look.
He's been more right than he's been
that's
wrong.
That's right. The S&P 500 has gone from 600 to 5,300. So a perma bear has been wrong about 90% of the time, and a perma bull has been right about 90% of the time. You know, he's pretty well known, a professor of finance at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. He spoke Tuesday about the equity markets. My key takeaway was, he said, and I totally agree with this, the most important valuation of the market is the price-to-earnings ratio. And that's the one we focus on every week in the newsletter, and that drives our decision-making process is the overall state of the market, the valuation of the market. He says, I don't think we're at the top of a peak or at the bottom of it. So we've kind of ranged here between 19 to 23 recently. Right now we're at about 21.5, somewhere in there. He says, this is according to Wharton, according to Siegel, the right P.E. ratio of the market right now should be about 20. With a little wiggle room around it, even though the historical P.E. ratio is 16x. So I see him trying to justify the current P.E. ratio of the market. He says it is justified, but how do you go higher from here if we're already at that level? That's still a bull, Jeremy Siegel, who pretty much has been right about the market over the long run. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market hanging on, mostly green on the screen. I'm guessing Powell's speech, maybe the transcript is out. But, you know, I have noticed that a lot of the members of the Fed are pushing that rate cut out. I saw one yesterday that was mentioning October, November for the first rate cut.
Bostic, the Raphael, the Atlanta Fed president, he said, I guess this morning, he pushed his first rate cut out till Q4. So yeah, that would be kind of in line with the other member. And I think, you know, you've talked about the PE ratio and where it's been. And if you just look at this, you know, kind of recent, pullback or slow move in the market, it's really been driven, you know, to me, really been driven by interest rates. If you look, I think we're at 4.3 or so or higher on the 10-year this morning, which is, you know, the highest we've been up to this year. And so, you know, kind of these, I think that narrative of, you know, either 3 rate cuts in 2024 or 2 rate cuts, whatever the number ends up being, regardless, those rate cuts continue to get pushed further and further out.
Yeah, we just hit 4.41 on the 10-year.
Oh,
and
okay.
The 2-year is pushing 5% right now. that's the highest we've had in a while. Okay, Intel is getting clocked today. And it's because, you know, they want to get into the low margin foundry business, making the chips. They think there's a big opportunity there competing with Taiwan Semi and the others. But, you know, the problem is they're naming 2030 as the break even point. That's 6 years out. Okay. And they expect their operating losses are expected to peak this year, and then slowly but surely over the next 6 years just to get to break even. I think that was not expected, obviously, that or to take that long. We haven't had much success here in the U.S.
No,
with
and that's
foundries.
You're right. It is overall, right, a low margin business. It's important business, but the initial outlay too, and the cost, and just, you know, the expertise, right, in order to produce these chips. And you're talking dust-free environments, right? There's a lot that goes into it, and a lot of initial outlay in terms of investment, and that's where the math is hurting Intel in terms of earnings because of the initial investment that they're having to put out there before any of these chips really begin rolling off the assembly line. And that's where you've got the CHIPS Act I think it was an announcement last week or towards a week or so ago from. Yeah, I think Intel is going to get, you know, roughly about $20 billion, right, to put towards investment. But I was reading that $20 billion is like really a drop in the bucket in terms of what their real outlay is going to be. It's going to be in the $100 billion range.
And, New York has given Global Foundries all kinds of incentives and tax breaks. And that stock just has done very poorly, trying to build chips in New York. Disney, it's the day of decision, is finally here. Management looking to prevail on its vision. You've got 2 visions for Disney. I know Vanguard, which is a major shareholder of Disney, they weighed in on the side of the current management. You got Nelson Peltz and his Treon group have put forward a different plan for Disney. So we'll see where it all ends up. But I would say that Disney stock has been pretty perky here recently, pushing up against 52-week highs after being a real sluggard over the last several years in the market. Here's your stock of the day, Vivo Power, VVPR. Vivo to Vivo Power. It was up 330% yesterday. It's up 25% today. VVPR looks like a good short candidate now. I'm not quite sure. The description in MarketSmith says they install solar power panels. I can't imagine a stock that does that jumping like this much, but it is the biggest winner of the day. Meanwhile, Tesla is taking shots from the analyst. You know, it's just funny to see how the tide has turned on Musk. Obviously, you know, the pivot point was him getting involved in Twitter. Before that, you know, if you listen to CNBC, which definitely leans to the left, and most of the business channels, Bloomberg leans to the left, etc., he could do no wrong, right, Elon Musk. And then with the Twitter thing and taking away the censorship and whatnot, he definitely, the left-leaning media now, he can do no right. And that's what I saw yesterday. I was watching CNBC. They were talking about that. Was pretty shocking, really, the deliveries of cars and how much the analysts were off by. And now I'm hearing, you know, basically he could do no wrong. I mean, he could do nothing right these days, according to them.
Oh yeah, and don't forget. I mean, he was, you know, Elon was, I think he's hosting Saturday Night Live like 2 years ago, right? So you go from yeah, one side of the media darling, right, to the, you know, to the complete opposite.
And I think the conservatives and the right, they look at him with suspicion, right? I mean, how he wants to mess with your brain with his neural link and
populate Mart, right?
Mart. He's not exactly a hero, but he's definitely come into more favor with the conservatives on his stance on censorship and freedom of speech. Now, the other one, well, Dan Ives, he says it was an unmitigated disaster for Tesla. But guess who's doubling down again by snapping up more than 240,000 shares across three different funds on Tuesday? Our friend Kathy Woods down there in Florida, not too far from Sarasota, is where she's headquartered. I don't know. She just doesn't seem to realize when a story's gone bad. I guess maybe it's admitting you're wrong. Of course, she doesn't think she's wrong. What was her target price on Tesla? $10,000 or $1,000?
I thought it was $5,000 or so.
Some outrageous number. And, I mean, she's standing by what she says. She very seldom backs down from her her opinions and what she believes, and she stepped forward yesterday with other people's money, don't forget, buying another 240,000 shares of Tesla in her three funds. And by the way, the ARK fund looks very precarious right now from a chart point of view. It was one of the ones I had. I send out, about six or seven precarious-looking charts every day, big names, just as, you know, as an indicator. And on the other hand, Sark, which is inverse her fund, is looking pretty perky these days. So I just don't see a good future for ARK funds. Toyota, they blew it. Okay, while Tesla had a horrible report, Toyota, their sales were up 21.8%. And I think it's their piecemeal approach to the EVs. They focus more on the hybrids and not so much.
Their hybrid approach is their hybrid approach is by far, in my opinion, right, the proper way to go. And the stock price really tells you. I mean, you look at the, you know, they focus more on the hybrid side than say pure EV side. And you know, look at their sales, right, and look at their performance compared to, you know, you pick your other car maker, and they've done phenomenal. I think Ferrari might be the other one that's done well during
Absolutely.
That period.
Well, $179 every 3 months, Costco started offering its members in the U.S. access to a weight loss program through healthcare marketplace provider Sesame. $179 every 3 months. The renewable program includes a video consultation with a weight loss doctor, as well as a GLP-1 or weight loss prescription if it is deemed appropriate. Well, that can only help this whole move with these weight loss drugs. Now you can get a plan through Costco. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're going to take a look underneath the surface. The Dow up 60, NASDAQ up about 75. Small caps up, S&P up about 18 points right now. Crude oil hitting $86 per barrel as Mideast tensions really rising. Okay, let's take a look inside the Dow here. The Dow 30, the biggest winner. And this stock has been breaking out recently. Very strong stock. 80% upside potential, according to my numbers here, Caterpillar. It's surprising how well CAT has been doing recently. And, you know, the infrastructure stocks themselves have been doing very well. The Jacobs of the world, Caterpillar, other Eaton, other infrastructure stocks. Caterpillar so far this year is up 28.3%. After being up 52% last year, is currently ranked number 30 overall in my Best Stocks Now app, which has 5,300 roughly to compete against. And Caterpillar is currently at number 30, breaking out today to new highs. 3M is up 1.5%. That's the second best performer there. Then Goldman Sachs up 1.2%. On the downside today, Intel, 7% now to the downside on Intel. It's had a rough start to the year. Not only are they far behind in the AI race, now they're trying to make it through foundries in making the chips, competing with Taiwan. That's not going so well so far. Intel's down about 12 or 13% so far this year after having a really good year last year. Okay, there's a disaster here in the S&P 500. You know, that was one of the charts that I looked at this over the last several days and said, man, that's a weak chart. That does not look good at all. And now we're finding out why it is Ulta Beauty. Ulta's getting whacked today. S&P 500 is down 13.4%. You know, okay, as we look at bricks and mortar, we've always said the last two survivors, really, are Ulta and Lulu, right? And now Ulta's getting
That's true. In Costco, you hit Costco. That's a completely different animal.
Yes.
Different animal than makeup And
Costco's chart is looking shaky here today, too. I mean, that's kind of the last. You know, the other one, too, that I thought was looking pretty shaky was Walmart. So I don't know.
Well,
maybe, you think the consumer is softening up?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that when you've got, you know, when you look at jobs, right, where they are. Of course, Ulta comes out and warns on beauty sales, and of course, you know, you look at Elf, and they're down almost 10%.
That's bringing Elf down, you know, too, yeah.
Because Ulta said their, you know, cosmetic sales were slow down. But it's, I mean, you know, from a consumer spending standpoint, it's really hard to, you know, make the argument for a slowdown, right, when you look at the amounts of, you know, amount of employment that you have out, you know, out in the system at the moment. So it'd be tough to be on the side of a slowdown just because you've got money coming into the system.
I looked at that chart.
And we like to spend as Americans. Obviously, it's been well documented.
Oh, yeah.
Americans tend to spend. So.
There's no end to it until there's an end to it. Ulta Beauty is just getting slaughtered today on 9 times normal volume. And it's bringing down Coty. It's bringing down Estee Lauder. It's bringing down Bath and Body Works. All those stocks getting hit hard today. Intel, a big loser in the S&P 500. The winner in the S&P 500 today, GE. That has just been an incredible stock. We got to call it now GE Aerospace because they did some spinning off of other segments, the healthcare segment. So GE now just basically has mostly the aerospace division in it, but I think it still has the energy and maybe the appliances and stuff like that. But GE Aerospace is breaking out today. It's up 5.9%, the biggest winner in the S&P 500. Energy is up 4.3%. That's the company that supplies electricity in Texas. There's been several in that. Vistra and Constellation Energy, CEG and VST is Vistra. They've also been huge winners along with this energy. And what are they do? They're energy traders. So that has been a very, very good area to be invested in here in 2024. Energy is breaking out of 5%, hitting a new high. Western Digital's up 3.1%. Micron's up another 2.8%. And the AI stocks are doing pretty well. Arista is up 2.8%. And, of course, Micron can definitely be lumped into that AI sector. And then the other area, I said the most pristine chart in the market today, right now, and it's going up again today, Marathon Petroleum. Look at that chart. That looks like NVIDIA earlier this year. That is just a beautiful, beautiful chart on Marathon Petroleum, which they're diversified. I mean, they're a refiner, yes, but you know, you talk about the Fabulous Seven and the Big Five and whatever else, Fang. What about MPC? It's up 34% year to date and was up 82% last year. MPC is refining, marketing, and transportation of petroleum products, mostly in the Midwest. A new breakout today on that one. Okay, well, you got a flavor for what the market's doing today, where the hot spots are, where the disasters du jour are. I'll be writing the newsletter again this weekend. As always, you get 2 free weeks. See what we own, how it's doing so far this year at Gunderson Capital. com. And to set up an appointment with us in Sarasota in person, 855-611-BEST, or a telephone or virtual appointment with us also at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.